Hey everyone, welcome back to the sixth episode of Guildcast. I'm your host Sean, and with me once again is Ruby. How you doing, Ruby?
I am pretty good.
Pretty good. How's your week been?
I'm pretty well. My week has been good. We went outside today. I left the house and went to the big blue room. It was crazy.
Whoa, that is crazy.
It's like hot out there, and there's a big thing in the sky.
Aren't there like Ettins and Char out there?
Somebody, I guess, has already gone through and vanquished this area.
Oh, that's good.
We saw one dude that kind of looked like an Etten.
Well, that's cool. Yeah, with the weather warming up, you know, people in nice areas, I guess, you can go outside. Where I live, in the summer, you tend to go inside more because it's just, you know, 100 degrees with 99% humidity. It's like insane.
So you're like swimming through the air.
Yeah, so summer is kind of the more gaming time, I guess, for us, but ironically.
Yeah.
Which is funny because, you know, I grew up in Chicago and it was the exact opposite, but good times.
Oh, now it's hot and you're inside.
Yep. As long as I can complain about something, right?
Yeah, there you go.
Well, so we have a lot of news and kind of topics to cover this week, although there wasn't anything huge, you know, that we didn't have a class reveal like we were hoping. We didn't have anything too big, but we did have a nice little chunk of information about a new alphabet that they're working on.
I'm pretty excited about this.
Yeah, I am too, because it's, you know, I consider myself not a lore buff, but I do follow the lore, especially in Guild Wars, you know, for years and years, and it's always interested me, and it's always been something that I followed. But it's something that, I mean, they talk about some of the old alphabets where people have actually translated, like Canthan and some of the old Ascalonian languages and alphabets, and that's pretty incredible. But what they're doing basically now is they're making a whole new alphabet, and we'll explain all of that. We'll explain the lore about all that, you know, in the show today, because that's pretty much going to be the main topic. And also, we're going to talk about a few other little tidbits of news, and we have a lot of email to read. So it's going to be a nice little show.
All right. Well, let's do it then.
All right. Well, first, I wanted to mention a little bit of news, a little site news. We have, like I mentioned last time, we have the old episodes that I'm trying to get back together, the old archive of Guildcast episodes. And this is something that I've been working on with quite a few listeners, and actually it's pretty cool because I've been reconnecting with a lot of old names who I haven't heard from in a long time, so it's really awesome. But it seems like, from what everyone has said, I have a few people who actually have every single episode. So I'm trying to get everything together, contacting a few people. I have about probably 30 episodes now set up and uploaded and ready to go. But once I get everything ready, I'm going to put it in the old Guildcast feed, which I do still have access to because I actually did it right and I forwarded it through a forwarder so I can just reassign the forwarder. So that'll work. But for the new Guildcast, this, you know, the one you're listening to right now, I'm probably going to be changing the feed a little bit. Right now it's kind of confusing. You know, there's Libsyn, there's WordPress. I have a main, you know, guildcast.com site that I own. And it's like you have these three different places. Which one do I go to? Which one do I subscribe to? And it gets a little confusing. Plus, it gets a little expensive to run all these. The whole reason I use Libsyn is because they don't really have a max for bandwidth. They don't really have anything as far as, you know, any kind of I mean, they do, but not in the kind of price bracket that I bought. But they also have a really easy way to get it on iTunes, which is why I went with them. But I know how to do that stuff myself, so I think I'm going to kind of cut out Libsyn, cut out that extra cost, and just go to my own host and just do that. I know I've said before I don't want to ever do that again because I keep getting hacked and stuff like that, but I'm kind of doing – I'm not doing it completely my own, but still using the WordPress.com site, et cetera. A lot of technical stuff that hopefully I'll have set up before next week. But the reason I wanted to mention it was because I want everyone to be prepared for if that feed changes and there might be a new iTunes feed to subscribe to, things like that. And we'll let everyone know in Twitter or on the website, of course. So just keep an eye on that if you suddenly find that you don't get any more Guildcast episodes every week.
That's why.
Yep, that's why. Not because I killed Ruby or anything, but although that might happen, so you never know.
Aww.
Poor Ruby. She loves it. So let's talk a little bit about the Dragon Festival. This has just been announced to come back. You know, the good old July 4th Dragon Festival that we've come to expect every year right around this time. You want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I actually, we're getting a new dragon mask, and I'm kind of excited about that. I'm looking forward to seeing what this is. It says, this year's mask design is inspired by the great dragons of legend. And if I could have a Zaitan hat, that would be, like, the best thing ever. I'd just be running around Lion's Arch all the time going, rah! But otherwise, it's pretty much, if you've been in Guild Wars for any amount of time, you're familiar with the Canthem Festivals. And it's pretty much identical. I know a lot of people would like to really see that changed up every year. But it's stuff that we like and that we're familiar with and we know how to do. So it's, you know, it's something cool that we know what to expect, and we get to go play some old favorites.
Yeah.
So all of those are coming up. And to me, complaining that it doesn't change every year is, say, you know, let's do something different for Christmas this year. We have a tree and presents every year.
Wait, you don't do that? You don't have it outside sometimes in the snow or on the highway? You don't? That's just me?
No.
Okay.
So that was like a miniature rant on people complaining that it's not different every year. I love me some sugary blue drinks and the actors in their little cardboard masks.
So, yeah, I mean, they have added to it a lot over the years. You know, it started out with just basically rice wine and red bean cakes. And
you had to split those with people.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and the victory tokens, too. So, yeah, so they've expanded a lot. They have a lot more NPCs. But it's, from last year at least, it's pretty much the same, except for the new masks, right?
Yes, I can't wait to see the masks. So you've got your roller beetle racing and hanging out on the boardwalk and the dragon arena.
But and by hanging out, you mean AFK?
AFKing for days. You know, I can't knock it. I did it this year at the Kanta New Year Festival.
Yeah.
Because my main is 29 of 30 maxed titles. And I keep waffling on what that last one should be. So I tried for lucky and unlucky for a few days.
You know what's funny is we have a lot of old friends from a long time ago that don't really play as much anymore. And when these festivals come up, I always see the same people, all of a sudden, they're in game, and for a split second, I'm like, whoa, they came back, and I'm like, oh, they're AFK.
Yeah, if you think they came back, try talking to them. Go ahead, send them a whisper, ask them how they're doing, because they're not even home. But again, I've done it, I blew way too much money at the Kanta New Year Festival, so.
Yeah, that's what it's all about.
It's coming up July 1st through July 4th.
Cool.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Awesome. And then I guess we'll go ahead and get into the main topic here, which is the alphabet. And this is based on a new blog post by content designer Matthew Medina. He talks a little bit about this new alphabet, how the lore behind it and everything, and why he's starting it back up. And essentially, he talks about how he created in Old Ascalon, or actually was it post-Searing Ascalon, I think, where he made some runes in Guild Wars 1. And, you know, he just threw a couple together kind of based on ancient Phoenician language. And people actually translated it and actually figured out what it said. And he was impressed by this. So, you know, drawing from that and being inspired by the player interaction and dedication to something like this, he said, I'm going to make some more. So he made Canthan languages. He made Assyrian languages. You know, he made many more that we have in the games right now, in the different expansions and everything, even all the way up to Isle of the North. So when they start developing Guild Wars 2, he approached the design team and he said, "Look, I need to put an alphabet in there. I need to make some kind of new language. We need to figure this out because people love it and people figure this. You know, they actually decipher what these things say." He says he thinks that it would be a definite plus for the community. So they were all on board for this because they love the immersion. Everyone at ArenaNet seems like they do. And so he actually is talking about in this blog post about creating the two new alphabets for Guild Wars 2. And one of them is called New Crichton.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one he says he has not named yet. It'll be coming... He says it'll remain our secret for now, but And this is the interesting part, I think. This is a direct quote from me. He says, "Rest assured that if you see writing in Guild Wars 2, you'll almost certainly be capable of reading it." So I guess that means essentially that everything you see in the game will be decipherable. It won't just be nonsensical, you know, scratches on the wall.
Right.
It'll be actually something you can decipher. So that's interesting. I think there will be a lot of people who will go straight for that, you know, mm-hmm. And kind of make sure to seek that out. Now, here's the thing is there's a discussion about it over at Guild Wars Guru 2. Guild Wars 2 Guru? Is that? Yeah. and they're talking about, wouldn't it be cool to have an actual title in place for those people who can decipher this type of thing? And I think that's a wonderful idea. Don't you? I mean,
oh, I would absolutely love that, because this interests me too, and I'd love to look. I've actually got this. We wrote about this at Massively, and I, for a header image, I zoomed in on like a little sandwich board in front of a shop. I am dying to know what's on that little sandwich board.
It probably just says like, you know, like Reuben
I think it's
sandwich.
The dinner specials at the restaurant. Yeah,
yeah.
Exactly. But there's an exclamation point on it. There's something they're very excited about.
It's a sale. It's the soup of the day. They're very excited about that.
I'm a little concerned about soups and Tyria and what they contain.
I mean, we don't even know at all because this stuff hasn't been released yet. But to even figure it out, I think would be pretty cool. I mean, I wonder if people have actually even figured this out based on anything at all. You know, anything. I don't even know how they figured out the other languages, to be honest, because I'm not a linguist or anything. But I just think it's fascinating that they're going to go that deep into it. Mm-hmm. And a title, I'm all about titles. I honestly believe that when they introduce titles to Guild Wars 1, that it really just it kind of reinvigorated the game.
I think, you know? It added quite a bit.
Yeah, and they did it pretty early on, too.
Yeah, it's been around for quite a while, and like I said, I'm at 29 of 30, and only the grind titles are left, so I'm a little ambivalent about them right now, but overall, they're a good thing.
Yeah.
my days of cursing them.
Now, one thing to note, though, of course, is Matthew says in this blog post is that deciphering these alphabets will be 100% completely optional. Mm-hmm. You know, as much as he talks about it, and as much as he is excited about how it came to be, he just wants to make sure people know, hey, this isn't going to be a missed game, basically, or, you know, right. It's not going to be a game where you have to spend so much time deciphering these to progress in the game. It's just 100% optional. So I'm personally excited about it. It sounds like you two are excited about it, right?
I am. Yeah, I can't wait to get into this.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not one of those things that you have to do, so it's pretty cool and important to note.
Yeah, it's just an optional side thing that you can go for. And that would fit in with a title nicely.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you, the thing that really fascinates me about this, though, is that it's just something that he did for love of the game.
Yeah.
And it wasn't intended to be any big thing. He was surprised when it turned into such a huge thing. Mm-hmm. And it's just, it's a testament to how passionate the fans are and how passionate some of these developers are about this. And I absolutely love that.
Yeah, me too. That's why we're here, right?
I'm excited to see that it turned into such a big thing. And actually, I have to include, there's a Guild Wars Wiki entry called The Languages of Tyria.
Oh, okay.
And it is an extremely, extremely long entry. There's a lot to this. They even talk about the Titan languages.
Oh, nice.
Well, the Titan language, I'm sorry. We know one phrase, and I can't say it, so don't ask me. I don't speak Titan. I don't know how to say it. But it's just so cool that this was just a little thing he did. You know, I'll just knock this together really quick because I think it would be cool. And it turned it. Look at how big this is. It made it into Guild Wars 2.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yep. Now, what I find particularly interesting is kind of the history behind the language that somebody wrote this up. I don't know if Matthew actually wrote this up, but somebody wrote up a lore piece that is describing exactly where New Crichton came from, where this New Crichton language came from, alphabet, I should say. I keep saying language, but it's actually just an alphabet. So I guess, you know, the whole thing is in the blog post, but just to sum it up, essentially what happened was there was Old Crichton. You know, the Crichtons had their language. It was based on more of kind of a conceptualized alphabet, a lot of symbolism. When I read this, I think of a lot of the Asian languages, like Chinese is based on things like that, Japanese too, where it's more about symbolism and instead of putting together a bunch of letters that form a word, it seems like it would be more of like a concept. So that's what the old ancient Crichton language is like. But of course, when Ascalon, you know, was attacked and destroyed by the Char, the Ascalonian refugees came into Crita. So the Ascalonians brought kind of a more comprehensive language to Crita. And once they started intermingling among the Crichtons, they kind of mixed and matched up their language.
It evolved a little bit.
Yeah, it evolved with what was already there with the Crichtons, but they couldn't – it just wasn't working as well, I guess. And so there was this – I guess it was like a committee where they, you know, several years later, they decided to actually kind of do away with the old Crichton and kind of mix the two, you know, where you mix the conceptualized – Crichton language with the ease of use of the Ascalonian language, and that made New Crichton. And New Crichton had been around by the time that Guild Wars 2 starts up. New Crichton had been around already for 220 years. So it's already evolved, it's already turned into its own thing, and I kind of see that as kind of like English, I guess, because, you know, English is all over the place. Everyone knows English, it's the most popular language, and that's what they're saying about New Crichton too. It's kind of the general language that a lot of people, even the, you know, the Norn and the Savari, have learned so that they can communicate effectively with a lot of the humans. Now, I think it's funny to note, too, when they voted on this committee voted on creating this new Crichton language, the Asura were the only ones who voted against it. You know, they're all about kind of keeping the history and everything true and authentic. And so they did not. They were not on board with this.
Well, that, and they probably thought it was stupid.
Yeah, I mean,
honestly,
they kind of think everything is stupid, which is
exactly
that's why I love them so much. But of course, you know, the Asuran have their own language as well. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's important to note. That might be something we also see in Guild Wars 2. But I really like that story about New Crichton language. I think it fit in perfectly. I think that it has it's always good to know the history, which is why I wanted to explain it here in the show, because I think that it's important just to even know kind of where you're coming from, where the story's coming from. I mean, there are probably a lot of players out there who don't even know about the Ascalonian refugees coming into Crita, or why it happened, or that Prince Rurik died. Oh.
Every time you do that. Actually, though, as far as the history, there is something here that's interesting to me, and I see some good potential there. You know, you were saying they really pushed this forward, and that was the Dermond Priory organization that really worked on that. That's one of the orders that you can choose to join in Guild Wars 2.
Yeah, and they're the ones that are all about, like, preserving history and things like that.
Yeah, I just wonder how much of this optional translation will be affected by whether you join that order or not.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. Or how much following that type of gameplay, you know, like deciphering and everything, how much that will actually affect how you get into that order, or the titles maybe affiliated with that order. I don't know.
If translation will be easier, maybe you'll have access to better resources to help you translate.
Yeah.
Now I need to know. I need to know now.
Maybe they'll do that in Guild Wars 3.
I can't believe I did that.
We actually got an email about that, which is kind of funny, I think.
Yeah, I got CC'd on that one, and they were like, "You made my heart stop." And don't mind me, I just get really into what I'm saying, and sometimes wrong things come out.
I think what's interesting too about this whole thing is there was the discussion I mentioned before over at Guild Wars 2 Guru. They were talking not only about the potential title, but they're also talking about this Zam article that wrote a little bit about it, and they kind of were likening it to Tolkien's languages. Mm-hmm. Although I think one commenter pointed out quite wisely that, you know, ArenaNet's not going to go that in depth with it. You know, you're not going to need a degree in linguistics to be able to decipher this stuff. It's just something like as a little added fun bonus. And I think even if they made it as hard as a Tolkien language, people would still decipher it, you know?
Oh, I think so.
They would still get into that.
But it is, it's actually a good point, and it's one that I'm kind of glad, and now they're going to do it, now that I'm outing myself. I kind of got called out on that, too, because I wrote about this on Massively, and I called it a language.
Oh.
And it's not a language.
No.
Several people pointed out you don't have to learn a whole new syntax and grammar and all of that. It's just a different character set, but basically it's English.
Yeah.
So it's not a new language, and I actually called it a language in the title, so I can't even go back and fix it.
You know, that's almost as bad as calling Second Life a game. I mean, once you do that, you just, that's it.
Oh, gee.
No, seriously. If you call Second Life a game, you'll get killed. Believe me. I speak from experience. So that was the segment where we talk about other games. See, I just called it a game. I'm dead. So let's get into the email, because we actually had quite a few this time around. Yeah, me too. Let's see. This first one is about episode 5, and it's from Chris. He says, in-game name, Lord Crisco. He says, as always, another great episode. It made my skill capping much more enjoyable. First, I will start with the two main points that I came to from the show. Number one, 6 isn't 8. Since when? My life is a lie. Everything I've known is wrong. How can I know what's real anymore?
We're sorry, Lord Crisco.
Yeah.
And number, an awesome name.
Yeah. Number two, he says, Guild Wars 3. And then he waits. He waits for his heart to start again. Yeah.
Yeah, that guy. I'm so sorry.
This is the one you're talking about. You got CC'd on. But he says, okay, back on topic. I have a feeling that the next class to be revealed will be the Ranger. Should that be in caps? And then he panics. No, it actually shouldn't. Simply because both classes so far have been prophecies characters. I believe that they will save the new classes for the end of the reveal or somewhere close to the conventions or even at the conventions. Next on the list is the idea for Guild Wars 2 characters. Personally, I have decided that my first character of many will be the same as my Guild Wars 1 main. He's a large, bald-headed, skirt-wearing, sword-swinging human male warrior.
Yay!
To my guildies and I, he has become a long-running joke mostly about his size. I still argue that it's all muscle and not fat, though it seems to be an unwinnable argument. He doesn't have much of a story so far, so perhaps that's it. He is just a commoner who is thrust into a war. One more thing. Looking at the concept art of the female with the mace shield, I get the idea of a paladin. That's something we talked about last week. Mm-hmm. Though, kind of like Ruby said, I think that that's too obvious for ArenaNet. Okay, I lied. This is the last point, I promise. With the War in Kryta quests, we seem to be getting a new quest every Thursday that have been so far some of the best stories in any game I've played. What I'm really interested to know is what the Medals of Honor will be used for. Do you guys have any ideas or guess? I think that's about it. So thanks again for the great work. This email turned out to be way longer than expected. Ugh, guess it's back to skill capping then. Chris.
Oh, that's okay. Wow. We like your email.
Yeah, we love all email equally.
Most email.
So let's do the War in Kryta thing with the Medals of Honor. What do you think about that?
Yeah, we don't know what those are for. It's driving me crazy because I've done all my little quests. I've got two characters that I'm working through the War in Kryta. I've done my quests. I've got my royal gifts, and I've opened them so I can get my mini Salma. And it does not happen. I have a lot of medals of armor and some Crichton brandy if anybody needs any.
Oh, I do.
Just what? If anybody else needs any. No. There's still a mystery. I think the best guess so far is some people that went digging through the files and were guessing that they can be traded for Shining Blade weapons sometime in the future. That's totally a guess. We don't know, but nothing better has been put forward yet.
Cool.
Yeah. I need to know. They're taking up storage.
Let's see. Yeah, and then he also mentions the idea of a paladin, like we said, which we still don't know. Could be up in the air. But one point that he did mention I wanted to touch on, too, is that he says like the Ranger is a prophecies character, the core characters, classes that we have. Those are the ones that have been revealed so far. And that's another reason why I say Mesmer, too, because I think that I do believe 100%, I do believe that they're going to save the new ones for last. It's still up in the air. We actually got a lot of comments, too, which I won't read through all the comments, but on our last show notes, we got a lot of comments from people kind of speculating on you know, what might come. And we still, you know, since they haven't revealed it yet, we still have that little contest going where it'll be a $25 gift certificate for Amazon if for the first person in the comments who correctly named the right class. And, I think by now I think they're all covered pretty much, except for the new ones, of course.
But feel free to guess.
Yeah, feel free to guess. But most everyone is saying Ranger or Mesmer or Necro or some kind of mix of those, you know. But a lot of people are saying Ranger, so...
You know, technically, I said Ranger first.
That's true, but you are, as an employee of Guildcast, you are disqualified.
All right. I'll take a paycheck instead. So anyway.
Okay, so let's go on to the next one. This is actually a really long one, but it's pretty cool because it has a story in there, like we asked. It says, "Hi, guys. I've been listening to this version of Guildcast since I came across Episode 1 on Guild Wars 2 Guru. I have to say I love the show, especially the parts where you two reminisce about the old times when Guild Wars 1 was still in its prime. I, too, am a longtime Guild Wars 1 listener. I've been around since the old days of refund points." Oh, yeah. Were you around for that?
I was not. I showed up, I think, not too long after they went away, and I got to hear all the horror stories.
Yeah.
I have a friend that I believe has 4 elementalists because of that.
Well, that was only in the first, I think they did away with that in like June of 2005 because it was pretty early on. It was only around for a couple months, but yeah.
Oh, okay. Then that was, yeah, it was definitely before my time, but I've heard some horror stories.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. Says, "Unfortunately, back then I hadn't heard about Guildcast, so I'm not an old listener. I really missed out by the sounds of it. Anyway, I thought I might share with you my take on the Mesmer class and my plans for my Guild Wars 2 character.
Yay.
For the Mesmer, I'm thinking that they will become one of the adventurer classes. I came up with the idea after playing around with the elite skill Illusionary Weaponry on my Mesmer. I still haven't found a viable way to use it, however. If you recall back in the original concept renderings of the Mesmer, they were wielding a rapier. While it is possible in Guild Wars 1 to do that with a Mesmer warrior, I'd like to think that ArenaNet could build upon this a little more. Using leather armor or some equivalent medium armor, the Mesmer could use his chaos magic to augment his own prowess as a master swordsman or fencer. He would have many skills which boost his ability to dodge attacks, such as distortion, seen in Guild Wars 1. Once a Mesmer successfully parries or dodges an attack, other skills could unlock where the Mesmer could taunt or mock the enemy with a shout, such as "Tisk tisk, you missed." That's awesome.
Or, I love it.
Or "Can't touch this." This would send the enemy into a rage, which would cause his attacks to miss more often, and he would let his guard down. I think this ties in well with the Mesmer being a rather confident and smug individual. He could also add bonuses to the party by means of chance to boost the allies' morale. This way, you could have inspiration magic for buffs, illusion magic for personal defense, and domination being tied in with sword mastery. Interrupts could be seen in the form of quick thrusts or some sort of distracting illusion magic, kind of like the red mages in Final Fantasy Tactics. As for my personal plan, it all relies on what the blue concept art is. I'm going to call it a knight for now. That, of course, is the one that we talked about with the mace.
Yeah.
Yeah. My character's name will be Kanan Whitefield, and his ancestry will be Ascalonian. I don't know if we should name characters on here in case people take them.
Oh, no.
No, well, nobody take that name.
You have to, like, beep that out or something.
As a child, Kanan was brought up... Well, actually, nobody will know how to spell it, so there we go. As a child, Kanan was brought up on grand stories of his great-grandmother, Alice. Alice fought in the battle for Ascalon and in the times after the Searing. The tales tell of her service to the Jewel of Tyria and how she fought to defend it from the Char invasion. Despite her being unable to stop the Searing, Alice went on to guide the survivors to their new home in Kryta. Later stories tell of her adventures through the Maguma Jungle, the Crystal Desert, and the Far Shiver Peaks. In fact, the very shield that was used to protect Alice from the fires of the Titans and the evil magic of the dreaded Lich was perched above his household fireplace. Inspired by these stories, Kanan trained as a warrior from a young age. However, rather than simply learn to fight, Kanan believed that he must also learn to protect others, so that if another Sirin should threaten his own family, he would be better equipped to protect them than his ancestors were in the years past. Kanan was quickly accepted into the Order of Knights and was becoming a promising young officer when the dragons awoke. He now believes that it's in his blood right to face these evils in battle, just as his ancestors did. Anyway, that's all I've got for now. Keep the good stuff coming, Rowan, or as I'm better known as, Dr. Internet. And then he puts at the end there, he ruined the whole thing by with this P.S. here, I gotta say. He put, P.S. Dervish is an awesome class.
I think a dervish is an awesome class. I just can't play one to save my life.
Yeah, I'm just kidding. I have
such a pretty dervish.
Yeah, I have a pretty dervish too, and she holds items well.
Yeah, mine does that too.
Oh, poor Rowan.
I love that story, though. Thank you for sending that in.
Yeah, definitely. I've always enjoyed stories like that. Actually, for those who've listened to Guildcast, you know, way, way, way back in 2005, 2006, I used to actually do a kind of a lore segment where I would read fan fiction. And I would spend a good part of the show reading it, and I always thought it was interesting. But I think a lot of people, you know, it's kind of specialty. A lot of people didn't really get into it, and they were like, yeah, I find myself just skipping that. So I took it out. But I find that stuff really interesting.
Very cool.
All right, so this next email is from Aaron, and it says, Hi, Sean and Ruby. I know you're not meant to mention any other games, but I'm guessing that the Guild Wars trait system is going to be similar to the glyph system in World of Warcraft. If neither of you play or have played it in the past, here's a link explaining all about it. Great job on the podcasting. And he has a little WoW Wiki, wawiki.com/glyph, little link there. But yeah, I think what he's saying is, now, again, I tried World of Warcraft and I could not get into it, but it's one of those things that is pretty common. I mean, the glyph system, the, you know, kind of being similar to the trait system, I guess that's possible. Again, we don't know for sure. We just know a little bit about what they had in that that developer diary a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. And I played World of Warcraft for like 10 minutes. I'm sorry. I don't know the system. But like you said, I think it is a pretty common one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. So this next one is... let's see, this is from Liam, and he says, Ruby mentioning Guild Wars 3 got me thinking about what it would be like. See, look what she started.
I'm sorry.
What it would be like, when it would come out, etc. As Guild Wars 2's setting has been compared to the Renaissance, kind of new to MMOs, what era do you think Guild Wars 3 could be set in? I was thinking late 1800s, Wild West, Red Dead Redemption, Victorian Britain would be pretty cool, as I'm pretty sure there hasn't been an MMO set in that era. And Asura plus bowler hat equals good stuff.
That's awesome. You know, he's got a point.
He does. On a side note, Knights of Echovald is still around, and thanks to Guildcast, I have made some really great friends after joining Knights of Echovald after Glue disbanded. So thank you, Sean.
Oh, I remember KOE.
Yeah, isn't that cool?
That is awesome.
Yeah, a little shout out to our old guild. We had Guildcast Listeners United, which was an old guild we had. Mm-hmm. Actually, that's how I got to know you, wasn't it?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Horrible, horrible time. No. but yeah, Glue, we had a second guild too because it got too big, and we had Glue 2. And Knights of Echovald was kind of a branch off of that where mm-hmm. one of the listeners formed another one, and we had a whole alliance going. We had God, G-O-D, we had Sinea's Guild was in there. We actually had quite a few, so that was a really big alliance of listeners.
Chat with quite a few of those people.
Yeah, it's so cool to know that these guys are still around.
Yeah, it's neat. And I see that KOE tag in game quite a bit. I think they're one of the more active guilds still hanging around Guild Wars.
Very cool, very cool. But yeah, his speculation about Guild Wars 3, that's,
I didn't think it through that much. I'm so sorry. You know, I barely remember even saying it.
it's crazy though to think about it. I mean, that ideally, you know, I've always talked about how I'd love to have a Wild West MMO. Red Dead Redemption is one of my favorite games of, you know, the last few years, single player console games. And to have that kind of setting would be really incredible. That's something no one's really done.
I want a Guild Wars Red Dead Redemption crossover, but only if all the glitches come with it.
Yeah.
That would make me so happy.
I think that I would hope that that would not happen.
I would love that, just for like a day.
So yeah, we have no idea. We don't even have any idea really about Guild Wars 2. You know, I mean, we know about the setting, but we don't know too much about it as far as past what's already been released. So Guild Wars 3, I mean, it's up in the air.
My slip of the tongue is going to turn into an internet meme, isn't it?
It really is. Like, seriously, I wonder if there are any threads about that on the main forums.
I don't know. Now I got to look. So, well, I am very sorry, but, you know, if it spawns Guild Wars crossed with Red Dead Redemption, it's all worth it.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. All right, so this next one, oh, this is from Ravius, who we had on the show.
Oh, hey!
He says, hey guys, definitely enjoying the show, of course. I wanted to comment on the gods with regard to professions in Guild Wars 2 that you discussed in the last Guildcast. You have to remember that unlike Guild Wars 1, where professions were generally linked to gods, in Guild Wars 2, only one out of five races worshipped the gods. So while the exploding arrows of a warrior in Guild Wars 2 seem Balthazar-ish, a Char or a Sura warrior might feel a little perturbed at saying that his ability is based on a human god. I guess that totally makes sense.
Where does he get off coming in here with his logic and sense making?
And his smarts.
Nobody said you could do that.
He says, this is very interesting, though, because as Ruby discussed, there is a heavy emphasis on the gods in Guild Wars 1. And in Guild Wars 2, one race just views them as, meh, part of the eternal alchemy. One race hates them, one race feels their spirits are more worthy of worship, and I think that the final race feels the world, Tyria, is greater. Anyway, keep up the great work.
That is an extremely, extremely good point.
Yes, it is. I totally didn't even think about that. Because, I mean, it's still possible to put that much depth into one race, you know, since they're human will just be part of the bigger picture of races in Guild Wars 2. Maybe they could do the same thing for all the races. They could all have their own separate gods. Who knows?
Yeah, I wonder how heavily they're going to delve into that. Yeah. Now I'm trying to figure out what profession the Snow Leopard would be associated with.
The Snow Leopard. It depends on if it spins around in circles or if it dies easily. Because if it, it spins around in circles, that would be Dervish. And if it dies easily, I'll give you one guess.
Is it still a Dervish? It's Dervish as played by me.
I was going to say assassin, but...
I know, the poor assassin.
I have to keep up the faux assassin hate from Guild Wars 1, Guildcast 1. No, I'm just kidding. I like assassins.
You like assassins like you like me.
They carry stuff wonderfully. I mean,
yeah, exactly.
They're just great. Okay, so let's go on to this next email. This is actually a big one. This is from Aksha Amri from the Krithos son of the Marganites. Wow.
Whoa.
Marganites. The Marganites are writing in now. I'm kind of afraid. okay, he says, hey guys.
I get to check their hands.
He says, hey guys, I wanted to start out by saying how great you guys are for putting out and discussing all the information you can find on Guild Wars 2, because God knows I'm too lazy to actually go out and find it myself.
All right, I love this guy.
You two are the nicest pair in podcasting as opposed to some other podcasts. Those guys can be, and then he has a bunch of nonsensical type, like censored out curse words, I guess.
Ooh, forward this to me. I want to see it.
I have been hitting the refresh button on my PSP RSS feed every hour, every day, till I saw episode 5 on there. God bless you.
Well, I love this guy. He's my favorite person.
Just a couple things I wanted to ask about. Number one, why don't you like dervishes? They are a great alternative tank melee class. And then he puts hater.
Because I am a crap dervish. Okay, that's it right there. I can't play the class.
Me making fun of dervishes, it's kind of like, it's like the way I make fun of assassins. You know,
Sean hates him because he wears skirts all day in real life and he doesn't want to do it in game.
Exactly. I mean, I dress like a Jedi every day. And if I want to play a character that dresses like a Jedi, no. I don't hate dervishes at all. I mean, I just haven't played my dervish. I think that's the only class that I think she's like level 7 or something like that. And I just kind of went, she'll be my mule. Instead of buying another character slot, I'll just make my dervish. But I did play, let's see, I got a couple characters with secondary dervishes. And I unlocked all of the avatars, and all of the elite skills I unlocked. So I did kind of halfway play a dervish for a little while, just at least to get the skills. But I don't hate them. I mean, next week I could make fun of monks just to kind of make Loudon Swain mad, you know. So
should I play? I should take some sort of listener challenge and like play a dervish for a week.
Hey, there you go.
And then see how many deaths I can rack up. Melee's just not my thing. I'm not good at it. So I don't hate dervishes. I just hate the way I play them.
Yeah. Okay, number two. As for the monks, I know you have said this time and time again that they were removed, but will there be a specific healing class or an elementalist trait that excels and heals? I only ask because I know people who would roll a healing class with the primary intention of being a healer. They like doing it, and they like being wanted. I think that's a good point. I think that they've already said that every class, every profession will have a healing skill or a set of healing skills. Mm-hmm. I don't know that anyone is going to excel at it. I think they're actually trying to, like, that's the whole point of getting away from that. Because if they made, you know, one class's healing skill set that was better than anyone else's, everyone would just play that as a healer. Right. And I think that's what they're trying to get away from. But I would imagine that if you get a nice buffing class, and then you you throw on your kind of healing spells with that, plus the item you have. I mean, that's going to depend on the item. Maybe there will be heals built into certain items, certain like offhands or even weapons. I mean, we don't know. So I would imagine that it's still going to be possible to kind of build yourself as a healer or a buffer or, you know, some type of a protector. But for the monk class itself, they've said that it's going to be taken out.
You know, I can see that there are people that want to play a straight healer class. I personally think they're really making an effort to get away from straight dedicated healers and spread that out a little bit. I'm wondering, I don't know, maybe it is possible to manipulate things between skills, attributes, and traits to where you can do that.
I'm sure you can, but I think also his comment there about one, you know, being wanted, like having that feeling of being wanted. I think Arena Net's trying to get away from that. I think that instead of sitting in Thunderhead Keep, you know, for 2 hours asking for a monk, need monk, then we can go kind of thing, they're trying to get away from that so people don't have to do that anymore. And while it is nice to be needed, and I think a lot of times, I remember when they had that monk revolt, when they had, like, do you remember that? I mean, that was crazy.
There was a sit-in.
Yeah, a sit-in of monks in Thunderhead Keep where they would just go in there and they weren't going to join anybody's group, but they were all there kind of throwing it in people's faces that we need to be respected, things like that.
Because once they would join the group, you know, you'd beg for a monk, and then they'd join the group and get nothing but abuse.
Yeah.
If some idiot went running into melee and got himself killed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that kind of soured a lot of monk primaries to healing. You know, they got to the point where they were like, you know what, I'm not going to heal you if you say one bad thing about anything. And then they would kind of turn into prima donnas, and, you know, and it kind of went back both ways, where it would turn into they got a lot of abuse and then they started giving a lot of abuse. So maybe ArenaNet saw stuff like that and they were like, you know what, we need to put an end to this.
Well, and I've not experienced it personally, but I've heard quite a bit of monks charging.
Yes, that's very true.
For this much.
It's very true.
So.
And I don't know, do they still charge for, like, runs? For, like, that Drachner's Forge run?
It's about 50-50. You can get a free run. A lot of times people are testing. They're learning the run, and they'll take you along for free, with the understanding that they might die and you have to zone. But runs get cheaper. It seems like runs get cheaper all the time.
Yeah, yeah. So. Wow. Those are the good old days. You know what's funny is when I first started playing, I was kind of afraid. This is a little backstory on Sean here. I was a little afraid to go past Pike and Square. And, you know, you look at this big map and you're like, I just finished Pre-Searing and now I'm in this new giant world.
It's huge.
Yeah, I don't know what I'm going to do. So I used to charge for runs, actually, from Ascalon City to Pike and Square. And it was like, I don't know, like 50 or something like that. It was nothing big, but it...
Like 50 gold?
Yeah. But it was nothing big, but it was like one of those things where I'm like, I've learned it, I know how to do it perfectly and, you know, avoid aggro here and do all this stuff. So I would do it a lot, and I would do it, you know, every free moment I had, which back
and
then
I'll
was
just,
a lot.
You were in your comfort zone.
Yeah. So I think it's funny. I'm always fascinated by runs anyway. You know, kind of something almost unique to Guild Wars, but yeah.
Open up those places on the map. Man, I remember getting to post and looking at how enormous the world looked and, oh gosh, where was it that I wanted to go? I think it was like Sardalak Sanitarium. Mm. And it just seemed forever away.
Yeah. They had all these new obstacles in the way and like, yeah.
It was enormous. I loved it.
Yeah. Wow. Here we are talking about the old days again.
There we go. We're reminiscing in our rocking chairs and sitting on the porch.
All right. So let's keep going. He's got a few more questions here. He has quite a few more questions. Number 3, auction houses. Since I'm only in high school, the only games I've really invested time in are Guild Wars, simplest game to get into with depth I could have ever imagined. I could have never imagined, he says. World of Warcraft, a huge mistake, he says. And RuneScape. Don't hate me because I play a free-to-play. It was the only thing I had for a while. Bigger mistake than WoW.
Hey, I love free-to-play.
Yeah, me too. And RuneScape, my daughter plays RuneScape, and she really enjoys it. It's an incredibly popular game. But something I've noticed about the other games that incorporate an auction house is that you get hundreds of people going out to farm only to store their stuff in a bank and then repeat it over and over until they finally go and put all their stuff up for sale, and usually the stuff sells very fast. This is just upsetting because you lose the interaction and thrill of a sale. He says, yeah, I go nuts when I sell something. I want your opinions on the auction house. Part of what made Guild Wars fun was going through the trouble to find a good customer or deal with your hard-earned gold or green. You really had to be a merchant and not a lazy farmer. Was it hard? Yes, of course. But if you really wanted to, you could go out and find a customer. I don't know. I just think that if you have an auction house, you could potentially raise overall prices of items. Money would be easier to make, causing inflation, as I've seen in Gadgetzen. I don't know. An item that you think is unique and rare will now be paired up against another million people who think that, and lowest price gets it sold first. It ruins value and overall market economy. Prices for really popular items become unreasonably high, and rare and uncommon items lose their value due to over-farming. Your thoughts?
Well, unfortunately, you're always going to have... It's just everybody's definition of fun. There's always going to be that element of the game that thinks farming a million things and then selling them is fun. Mm-hmm. And I have to, okay, now it's my turn for a story and I'll keep it short, but I have to confess I did that once on a Nicholas farming week. I have a separate account that I use for a mule account because I'm that much of a virtual pack rat. And when Nicholas showed up, I had, and I don't even remember why now, but I had been saving all my trophies anyway. I had, you know, all of those little things like the claws and teeth or and skin or whatever that fell off. I was storing those on mules. So we'd have weeks where I would have like a stack of something and only need like 15 that Nicholas was asking for. And I went in one day. I don't remember where Nicholas was, but Temple of Ages was the place where everybody was buying and selling this item that he wanted. And I went in and I had something like 50 of this item and I didn't have very much time. So I looked at the going rate. The going rate was something like 2K per item, and I wanted them. I just wanted them gone because I needed to leave. So I offered them up for 1.5K. And in like 5 minutes, I was completely out, and every price in the buy sell tab had been rearranged. So I'm one of those people that screwed up the pricing, and it wasn't that I was out to make a quick buck. It was just, hey, I want to get in, get out, get it done, and move on.
Well, I don't think I don't think it really screws up the pricing as much or less than an auction house would. I mean, you look at any game with an auction house, and that's exactly what people do. You know, somebody puts up a stack of wood or whatever for, you know, 1K, somebody else is going to go in there after them and put the same stack up for 900 gold. You know, mm-hmm. it's just the way things go, and those sell right away, and the 1K is going to sit there. But it's all about timing. You know, let's say somebody did do the 900, somebody's going to buy that 900, and then they're going to, the next person that comes along is going to see that 1K is the only one there, and they're going to buy that. I mean, it's all about timing, it's all about pricing. Playing the auction house is actually a lot of fun. And I think, I would have to disagree here with Aksha, because I think that an auction house will do exactly what people are doing anyway, which is, you know, standing around spamming trade chat, except they'll be able to do it easier, and they'll be able to do it in kind of a more organized fashion. Right now, I don't really know too many people who buy things besides materials that they need, buy like weapons and stuff like that through the trade channel. I don't know. It just seems like, I mean, mini pets, I guess, are still really big for player trade and selling and buying. But materials, I think, are kind of the other thing. But
yeah, rare mats like rubies and sapphires for Vabian armor.
Yeah, yeah,
exactly. That kind of thing.
Yeah, not like wood or anything. Although there was a time when I actually used to sell wood, stacks of wood in Drachner's Forge, because you could get you could make the parchment, and it was. And the parchment was used for the monk armor, and with all of the this is horrible. I kind of helped the gold farmers, I guess. With all of the monks that were being created, the gold farmers were buying parchment like crazy, so that they could get the new the max level armor, so they'd go out and farm. So
I have that armor. I love it.
Yeah. So basically, when I was selling wood to make parchment, actually, a lot of times I was making the parchment myself and then selling it and making a killing, just making an absolute killing. So I do realize and I do agree that part of it is fun. You know, knowing that there is a market for parchment, knowing that there's a market for that kind of stuff, and knowing where to go. Like, instead of just a general auction house throughout the whole world, you know that you have to go to Drachner's Forge to sell that stuff. That is exciting. And that is something that maybe even if they still make an auction house, they can still implement, where it's like localized auctions or localized prices, I mean. And localize supply and demand, that would be interesting.
That's actually a pretty good point. I think feathers and dust are the big thing over the past few months, and it's the same thing. You know where to go, and you know that it's popular and why it's popular.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if they can somehow keep that still in the auction house, which shouldn't be too hard, I think that it would be great, and I'm certainly not against the auction house.
I'm not either.
Okay, so let's go on to, let's see, the fourth question here. It says, just a short note here, I love you guys with all my heart, but please use the word mechanic sparingly. I know it's stupid to complain about it, but I've listened to gaming podcasts for a really long time, and I just get upset when professional journalists say it's a very clever mechanic or something like that, let alone the abuse the usage of the word gets. All I'm saying is that anyone can go start using the word mechanic here and there, but only pros like you can evaluate said mechanic and really put a meaning to it. I know it's a gaming mechanic feature, but go into the details of it. Don't just say the game will have many new mechanics rarely seen in other games. This applies to massively more. Well, ouch.
Well, he's got a point, and this is another email that I got. He CC'd me on this one, and he's right. It's an easy word. It's a default word, and as I was writing this week, I think I caught myself three times and went, you know, that one guy said, he's right, I use that a lot. So I owe him a thank you for that.
Yeah, I think it's just, you know, that happens. Especially in a podcast, you kind of talk a lot, or I kind of talk a lot. And I kind of just say the first word that comes up when I'm trying to think of a, you know, descriptive word. Or noun or anything like that. So I know that one thing I do is I say basically a whole lot, and it drives some people crazy. It drives me crazy, but I just do it anyway. Because basically,
I'm gonna listen for it.
No, it's just one of those things where, yeah, you're right, and we're sorry about this, but we do need to, let's get a thesaurus and look up the most extreme other version of mechanic, and we'll just use that every time.
I'll just say thing.
Yeah. How about auto repair technician?
I got to find a way to use that on Massively this week. And so when you see that.
It's a wonderful auto repair technician. Wait, what? What are we talking about?
I'm going to find a way to use that.
All right, so question number five. Any news on an updating system? Part of the reason I played Guild Wars was the short updates and lack of heavy, yes, while I'm looking at you, patches. This is something that we as Guild Wars players are completely spoiled on.
In a good way.
Yes, in a very good way. Because, you know, Guild Wars was my first game, and I started playing it on my first MMO like that. And then I would play other games, and I would, and they would be like, "Oh, it's Tuesday, time for patch day." And I'm like, "Wait, what? Like the whole day? Like, are you serious?" And I remember, I can count on one hand the times that Guild Wars has been down. And one of those times, I remember it was pretty early on in the game, or a couple years into the game, they had a rollback where they had a pretty big problem where people were.
Was that the Ecto thing?
Yeah, it was pretty big. They were selling stuff. They were getting Ecto really cheap or something like that, and then selling
it. Ecto was like 100 gold.
Yeah, and so they actually had to do a rollback, which was, you know, necessary, I guess.
Well, the whole world had Fissure Woe Arm.
Yeah. Except the Necros, because that's horribly ugly. But anyway.
My Necro has Fissure Woe.
I know, that's why I said it.
I figured. You have to specify boy Necro Fissure Woe is fugly.
Oh, okay.
Girl Necro Fissure Woe is adorable. I love it.
Ruby said it, not me.
It is. It looks great.
So, yeah, I think that we are definitely spoiled to that. I hope and pray that ArenaNet recognizes the fact that that's something that's actually a really big highlight of the game. You know, it's got to be something they recognize, and it would be a shame for them to have like regular patch days and stuff like that. But
I cannot imagine. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
But we don't know anything for sure.
Yeah, we haven't heard anything, but I cannot imagine that they would take such a big stride backwards.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's exactly what it would be. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is the way that they, I don't even know that I can call it a patch. The way that they update is something that I've universally heard players say other games need to emulate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they do.
So I would be absolutely shocked if they went to some sort of heavy patching system.
Yeah, it wouldn't make much sense. It would be the same as if they sharded all the servers, you know.
No.
Okay, the next question, number 6, he says, mounts, not that I care, but any news on mounts would seem weird for a char to ride a horse, a drake maybe, or an Atax, but not a horse. Better yet, will there be mounts at all? I'm asking because a friend won't play Guild Wars 2 unless there are mounts, and then he puts stupid, I know.
Well, there's mounts now, Siege Devourers, tell him that.
Yeah, there you go. Actually, they haven't mentioned mounts at all, have they?
No, they haven't, but you just mentioned some really awesome mounts.
Yeah, the Drake.
I want that.
Yeah, they haven't mentioned it all, but I think once again, like they did with so much of Eye of the North, they were kind of testing the waters with different things, different mechanics. Mm-hmm. Can I say that?
Ah, okay. That was it. That's what you get for Friday.
Yep. So they're testing the waters with it to see how people mm-hmm. react to it, and you have the giant siege devourers. So there you go, right there. I mean, that's something they were testing for Guild Wars 2.
Oh, and worms in Alona.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Worms, that would be awesome.
You know what, on a side note, I don't know, how do you pronounce, I don't think it's Atax.
Yeah, I don't know. I
need to look that up. I always just call it a cow from hell.
Yeah, it's one of those I could never, I think even in the first guild cast I tried pronouncing it, and I was like, I have no idea how to pronounce it.
Okay,
you know what's funny? You know what's funny, though, is there's this place by my house that's AAA tax, and every time I see it, I always think of that, because it's like AA.
I like that. Okay, but that's what I want to ask our readers. That's one of the things I want to ask our listeners this week, is tell us how to say that. You have to write it phonetically in the comments.
Yes, that's your challenge. Okay, next question. He says, I heard that when Guild Wars 2 launches, it would focus on one of the dragons. Is it safe to say that Guild Wars 2 will have a handful of expansions? And he puts, cough, Final Fantasy X/EverQuest, cough, to kill the others. That's, again, something we don't know, but that would be interesting. If they had an expansion for every one of the dragons.
That would be kind of cool.
It'd be cool, but after a while, people would be like, oh, yeah, another dragon expansion.
I don't know. Dragons, I wouldn't mind seeing that, to be really honest.
Yeah, but they haven't really said anything about the whole expansion thing. They, you know, of course, they are still going to be free to play, mm-hmm. but, you know, no sub fee. I shouldn't say free to play. I should say no sub fee, but they haven't said anything about expansion, so we don't know. And the last question here, he says, and what about a go-to feature for parties and groups similar to Dungeon Runners, where you just click on a group and you hit go-to, and it helps if you were AFK to for half the mission, like Gates of Madness. Gate of Madness was a sad mission. I stayed at the entrance only to realize the pug had made it all the way to Shiro in the Lich, and I just sat there. We didn't get masters. I think he's talking about not only for events, but also for, like, here with this mission here, where you just kind of enter where your friends are, mm-hmm. Which is something that you could never do in Guild Wars because of the fact that it's so instanced. They've said already, they've kind of talked about that, and a lot of it will be a more persistent world except for your own personal story. So probably, you know, with the exception of your own personal story, that you will be able to still join your friends in the middle of combat, you know, in the middle of one of these giant, what do they call them? They're not calling them quests anymore. Experiences or something. So, you know what I mean? So you will still be able to join your friends. So that makes it even more possible to have a go-to button. Actually, there are, like, Free Realms has something like that where you can literally click and it'll say go to, you right click on your friend in your friends list and it'll say go to that teleport to that person and you go right exactly where they're at. And I think that's a wonderful feature. It kind of cheats a little bit, but it's, you know, the original Guild Wars was, the map travel was set on that kind of thing where you could click on a city and you can go straight to it. You don't have to worry about travel times and stuff like that. So maybe this will be kind of the new version of that. Who knows?
I'd really like that. And I don't think we know how travel is going to work specifically, but again, that is a huge, huge advantage that Guild Wars has that I think they need to not give up. If they eliminate map travel, this would be a great alternative.
Yeah. Yeah. It's,
I like that idea.
I do too. And that, I guess that plays into mounts also, because if, you know, the reason Guild Wars 1 didn't have mounts is because of the ability to fast travel and map travel.
We didn't need them.
But people still want mounts. Even if it's a cosmetic mount, people want mounts. You know, it's just one of the things. And I, again, to go back to Free Realms, you know, Free Realms just recently introduced rides, which are basically mounts. But you don't need them because you can teleport anywhere at any time with two clicks. So it's all cosmetic, basically. So I think that it would be wise for them to at least introduce mounts, even if they're just cosmetic.
Well, it'd be a popular thing.
Yeah.
It'd be a popular mechanic.
Oh, man.
I wanted to say it, too.
Okay, so this next email, this is from Tiger Feet. And actually, Tiger Feet has emailed us a few times, and I actually saw Tiger Feet on a tweet recently from Guild Wars, from ArenaNet. I don't know if it's male or female. Tiger Feet.
It's an awesome name, though.
Yeah, it is. They have a website, secretagentcat.wordpress.com. And they actually mentioned that they want to do a intro, let me mention that really quick before I read this email. This is something I just remembered. Last week on last show notes, I put a little note about if anyone wants to do an intro, like we did in the old Guildcast, that just send it in, you know, even if you just want to say, like, this is so-and-so and I'm from so-and-so guild and you're listening to Guildcast. Something like that is fine, you know, if you want to pimp your guild, if you just want to say your name, if you, you know, anything like that. Last time on on the first Guildcast, a lot of people tried, you know, they tried little jokes or they tried, like, even little skits. I mean, don't make it, you know, 5 minutes long, but anything like that is fine. Just some kind of intro for the show that we will play at the beginning. And I think it was pretty popular with Guildcast 1. So I look forward to something like that. It's just something, MP3 format would be great. Just something quick and easy. And make sure your mic is not inside your mouth.
I said I'm sorry.
And make sure that you can understand what you're saying. And that's all I ask.
You know, while you were reading that, I had to go look, and I was still listening to what you were saying. But as soon as you said Secret Agent Cat, rang a bell with me, and I couldn't figure out why, because Tiger Feet's got a blog that was just, they talked about his or her. I'm like, looking. It's a female. Blogger and general crazy woman. See, I love her.
Okay, cool.
But she had a blog entry that was, they talked about over on Guild Wars 2 Guru. about char pelts and all the different colors and patterns that they came in. That was her.
That's what it was. That's where I saw the tweet. It was about that.
Yeah. This is really good stuff. I actually looked it over the other day. So, hey, good job.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, cool. So here's the email she had. She said, hey there, Sean and Ruby. Ruby, I know why you don't get emails. Yours isn't on the Guildcast About page. Oh, yeah. I wanted to send this to you as well because we ladies need to stick together. Well, there you go. If I would have read that, I would have known. But I couldn't, she says. Anywho, I love what you've got going with Guildcast. I wasn't fortunate enough to listen to you the first time around, but you're both welcome companions now. I'm excited that you're asking for intros. I might send you more than one, in fact. Hey, there you go. One definitely as Tigerfeet the blog author and one as Tigerfeet the char. Nice. I've done voice acting in college, and I have all kinds of ideas, and, well, I think I'll just record my character's plans in voice format and send you that instead of making you read off my email. Do I have a deadline? No deadline at all. You can send that in whenever. Actually, I think that'd be a really cool idea, because then I could just play it, and then people kind of, you know, can hear you telling your own story, which I think is really interesting.
Just do it sometime for Guild Wars 3.
Yeah. Okay, this is kind of... I'm clicking on this, and I'm a little scared.
She says something nice about me, and you're choking on it, aren't you?
No.
Oh, okay.
Talking about, well, I'd have to turn the volume up on this to hear it, but it's, it's from a song. Tommy, what? Okay.
What's going on over there?
I clicked on this link. It says, also, you might enjoy that it's Tigerfeet from that song Way Back When, and she links Way Back When to a YouTube video, and it's... It's definitely Way Back When. I'll say that. Anyway, that's Face Rippingly Yours, Secret Agent Cat Tigerfeet. Face Rippingly Yours.
I like her.
Yeah, me too. That's really cool.
And she's a char, so that makes sense.
That is actually really awesome. I'll be making every race, but a char will be one of the first, definitely.
Is it cool?
Okay, so we have another email from Aonani, who wrote us last week about Rangers. She says, hey, Sean and Ruby, by the way, I don't think I ever said you didn't like Rangers. I know.
I got this email, too, so I love it when you guys send it to me, too. I'm not surprised.
She says, and I thought you guys would like to know that I'm also in the category of people who were in high school and are now in college. I believe I was a junior in high school when I started listening, and now I'm a junior in college. Anyway, I have a question for you guys to ponder. How do you think they will explain how whole classes are wiped? Take the monk, for example, which I had no idea until the last episode that they weren't making the cut. They'll probably need to explain why there are no longer any monks in the world. Do you think it'll have something to do with Duena disappearing or something? Let's talk about that before I get on to the rest of the email.
Okay.
I don't know. Okay. So anyway.
Do you have any thoughts? Because I have a few.
Well, actually, I think the Duena thing is a really good possibility, which kind of goes back to Ravius's email, where maybe they might have some kind of story about how the gods have been eliminated, and you know the monks kind of, I don't know if you can say that they're more connected to Duena than kind of like, you know, you don't hear rangers really talking about Melandru like all the time, right? But monks are all about Duena. It's like all so maybe they took it a little bit too harshly, since I mean they're religious, you know, figures. So to be such heavy worshippers of Duena and have Duena somehow disappear, I think would be an incredible blow to them, and they would probably kind of disband. What do you think?
That's interesting. I didn't go that route. The thought of Duena going away makes me kind of sad, so I didn't think about that. But my thought on that was just that sort of knowledge. I've lost the word and
mechanic.
Now I just want to say mechanic is like my substitute word for everything. That knowledge and that information passed down kind of fell into disuse and became archaic. Archaic is the word I wanted. Yay, I found
it. You were close with mechanic. Mechanic,
yeah, archaic. there were some similar sounds there, but at any rate, I can see them going the route of all of that becoming obsolete and archaic and people looking at that as something old and silly that there's no need for with their modern technology.
Mm-hmm.
Or they could go the fun route and take it back to long-running repercussions of the Thunderhead Keep sit-in.
Ah, yes.
Their union broke up or something.
That's true. Yeah, but, you know, we of course don't know right now, but it would be interesting to speculate on. Actually, that's something that if people wanted to speculate on that in the comments, might be a good idea. Mm-hmm. Right? Okay, so the rest of her email, she says, as for my characters, the only one that I'm planning on having a complex backstory will be my ranger. Big surprise. I'm planning on making another Aenani Ravenclaw, human, and with similar features to my ranger now. It's all more for sentimental reasons. All my other characters will be random and whatever I like best. The Asurn and Char are what I'll probably not play if I have to. I prefer playing races that look somewhat human, just a preference of mine. Are you guys going to be sentimental, too, and make your main a human? Keep up the good work, Aenani.
Oh, I have to have one of Ari's descendants in there.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, didn't Aenani, doesn't she have the pretty ranger with the flower in her hair? Isn't that right?
I think so, yeah.
I thought the ranger was gorgeous.
Yeah, it actually, I think it has the same hairstyle as Gail Gray. Is that too creepy?
Gail Gray's ranger.
Yeah, Gail Gray's ranger. Let me clarify that a little bit.
Yeah, Aenani had a very pretty ranger, and if I had, I'd want to take that into Guild Wars 2, but yeah, something, Ari's descendants are absolutely going to be humans in Guild Wars 2.
That's cool. You know, I think, now I would love to do kind of a Walmart special descendant thing, maybe, you know, like Big Lots special or Target special, but I think that would be ridiculous.
Hence its appeal.
I would actually, you know, my second account is all, they all share the same last name. I decided, actually.
Special?
What?
Special?
No. No, I broke free of the special lineage for that. But actually, Lady Sinea is the one who inspired me to do that with her characters, because her first account, she has all,
same. She's got like this big old family tree.
Yeah, and it's really cool. I was really kind of inspired by that, but I didn't find out about it until after I made stuff like Walmart Special and Barbecue Ribs, you know, for character names.
I want all your characters to have the last name of Ribs.
Yeah, there we go. Like spare ribs. What else?
Short ribs.
Yeah, you could do all that.
I'm really hungry.
Oh, me too, actually. So I will probably at least do that. You know, I'll probably at least keep maybe one of those descendants as the human. Of course, you know, once I do all the other races, it can't really have the same kind of last name. I actually wonder about naming schemes, how they'll do that. Like if they will have something similar to like what Lotro has, or at least they used to have it a little bit more strictly, where, you know, you have to kind of stick with an elvish name if you're an elf, or kind of a dwarvish name if you're a dwarf. I wonder if they're going to do something like that with, you know, because Char have way different names than the Asurn, you know, mm-hmm. and human.
Well, and Asur have a particular, there's a particular scheme of name construction, and I can't remember exactly how, I read up on it a while back, but I can't remember. But there is a particular way that Asur names are constructed.
Yeah. Yeah. So I just wonder if they're going to, I mean, I don't think they would force it, but at least have it as an option to where you can choose kind of a, you know, maybe advice on how to get your...
that fits.
Yes, advice on how to make your character name more toward that race, I think would be pretty cool.
So you don't have a Char running around named Alan.
Darn, you took my name. Or Walmart Special, right? Although that would be awesome.
You call him Rollback.
So cool, yeah, that's all Aenani had, and that's actually all the email we had too.
Awesome.
So pretty thanks again everyone for writing in. Again, if you want to write to me or Ruby, mine is Sean@guildcast.com, it's SHAWN, and Ruby's is RUBI@guildcast.com, which I need to put on the about page, right?
I didn't know that wasn't there.
Actually, I think the about page I wrote like the very first day, just really quickly, and then I forgot about it. So,
do you know how to find it?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. I hope so.
So can someone tell Sean where that is?
And also, the old episodes should be coming back soon. They should be back on the old Guildcast feed, the RSS feed for the old Guildcast. And I'll have all that on the website in case you don't follow that.
I can't wait.
Yeah, me too. Actually, I have like I said, I have about 20 or 30 of them now, and episode 63 is one of them. But
yay, get
wanna,
that up first.
Well, I want to make sure they're all in order before I start posting.
Oh, okay.
But yeah.
Because you know the people that didn't listen before are like, what is this episode 63?
I know. It's
going
to have
talking about?
It's going to have the most hits out of any of them, like as soon as they come out. But yeah, and then the look for the new feed for this podcast, for the current Guildcast, to change very soon. So, you know, keep an eye on Twitter, keep an eye on the website, where I'll have plenty of information about that once that happens. Because after it changes, you know, you won't be able to hear the next episode if it did in fact change. So just keep an eye on that, and especially if you find yourself missing Guildcast next week at about the same time.
What happened.
Yep, that's what happened. So yeah, and you can also, like I said, check out our Twitter, which is twitter.com/guildcast. Pretty easy. We also have a little Facebook group going that you can become a fan of, and or you can like now. They changed it. And you can check out our writings over at Massively.com. Also, here's a little plug for Massively. But, you know, I want to mention it because Ruby is the Guild Wars lead over at Massively. So everything, you know, there's always going to be the latest information about Guild Wars over there from Ruby.
And we have a column on Monday all about Guild Wars.
Yeah. And what's that called?
Every Monday, not just this Monday.
Do you want to pimp that name?
Flameseeker Chronicles.
Yep. Flameseeker Chronicles. So, yeah, if you, and that's actually something else you can subscribe just to that column. You know, you don't, if you hate Massively, which, you know, that's fine, then you can,
it isn't.
you can subscribe just to that column and you'll just read the Guild Wars news. Or you can actually just subscribe to Guild Wars itself. I mean, I could do this all day. You should probably just read all of Massively, right?
I'm going to go for a burger while you finish up here. Seriously, I'm like starving to death.
Okay, well, let's go ahead and wrap this up then. So until next week, this is Sean.
I'm Ruby.
And we'll talk to you then.
I didn't mean you had to stop right then.